John Clayton.
Powered through the Alaska Airlines Studios.
Streaming live at 710sports.com. On demand everywhere on the 710 Seattle Sports app. Now, John Clayton.
And on the story I just did, they just posted on 710sports.com. We talked about the Seahawks salary cap. We'll get into that. But I want to get your reaction to what you would be if you were doing the general manager. Because I'll go into it. You know, last year, when free agency started, they had about $3.5 million as far as what they carried over from last year and with the contracts. And you saw what ended up happening. You know, they end up letting Richard Sherman go, trading Michael Bennett. Cliff Averill eventually is pretty much in that retirement phase, and so he's no longer there. So they cleared up a lot of room, and now they have about $10.6 million in cap. Clearly, there's, you know, John Ryan could clear up a little bit of cap room. If they do a deal with Dwayne Brown, that'll open up more cap room. But they have about 21 free agents. And so we're kind of going through the scenario. And again, give us a call here at 866-979-3776 and 206-421-3776. I have to start off with Frank Clark. And I think this is going to be a very difficult contract to do because when you think about, look what happened with DeMarcus Lawrence. Last year, I mean, he had less than 10 sacks going in his first 3 years. He exploded last year and got 14, went to the Pro Bowl, and he was able to get a franchise tag at $17.1 million. And so we'll see if they can get some kind of a deal done with him, DeMarcus Lawrence. So here's Frank Clark, and you look at his 3 years, and him being the number three pass rusher, the number three defensive end, he has 22 sacks. And so if he, and now that he's the number one defensive end, you know, does he take the position? It's like, I'm going to play this year out and go for the bigger money, or do I get a deal now? I would think he would try to get some kind of a deal now, and the team would need to get a deal now. I would have to think you start off at about $11 million, but it could go as high as, you know, 15 to 17 million if you can see with the franchise tag going up each year. That's scary because, I mean, that's going to be a big number, but I think he's the first one that you try to do if you can. Then, of course, the big debate, and this is one I think you really should chime in on at 866-979-3776, 206-421-3776, Earl Thomas and KJ Wright. We've talked so much about Earl Thomas, and now that we know that he's holding out, that means that there's not going to be any negotiation. But Earl's making $10 million. You know, the team with a $60 million of cap room can afford to be able to do it. Now, well, here's the caveat, and this is where I want to get your reaction. Do you go ahead and give a third contract eventually if he shows up to Earl Thomas, or do you give it to KJ Wright? And I would think right now, KJ Wright probably has the better chance to do it. One, his number is going to come in less than Earl's. It's probably going to be around $10 million. Second, Earl's going to be asking for $13-plus million, and you still don't know if he really wants to be here or not. So Thomas, KJ Wright, both, neither, or whatever. 866-979-3776, 206-421-3776. Let's get your reaction. We'll get into some of these other deals like Dwayne Brown, Tyler Lockett. Justin Coleman is one that I think that, you know, they should get done, and that could get done reasonably quick if they wish. So,
John, first up, we have David from South Prairie.
Hey, David, how are you?
So,
playing some salary
John?
Cap. Good, how are you?
Well, what I do is you got to take KJ Wright first. I mean, I'm sorry, but he does not get the prompts that he deserves. This man's a stud, and he's a rock. He's a good player. He's a great in the locker room. He's your number one guy you got to get. And then Frank Clark and Tyler Lockett. With Earl Thomas, I just don't see a market where he has any bargaining chips for him to say, hey, I'm going to hold out because I've got all these teams that want me. I just don't think it's there. And I always get angry when people say, well, we got to pay him. He's earned it. Well, he's been compensated for what he's done. You know, you pay a player for what you think he's worth to the team, not for what he did in the past. But I would go with KJ Wright first.
Yeah, and I was really trying to think through it because the idea to do some kind of a salary cap. So, and again, I'll probably at some point start to do more to kind of say, okay, here's where this is going to go. But then I started to think about that because I think third contracts are an issue. You see it with the situation with Cam Chancellor; he's guaranteed $11 million, and they're going to be on the hook for that for 2 years because of his injury. You got a contract extension with Michael Bennett; he didn't get through that. They elected to trade him, you know, Marshawn Lynch. Third contracts are tough. I was going through some stats, and I only counted up, you know, since 2004, about 55 draft choices that got third contracts.
Yeah, and that third contract, that's, you know, especially with on the defense, because you and I both know that defensive players, they don't age gracefully. It's usually they hit the ceiling and then they just drop like a stone. I mean, you look at Darrell Revis. One year they were calling him the best cornerback in the league, and the next year they were calling him toast.
Yeah, because he just couldn't run anymore. Hey, great call. Thank you for that. I think you got some good points. 866-979-3776, 206-421-3776. You know, again, going through the salary cap, which player do you think is the most important to get done the soonest? Let's go to Alex in Seattle. Hey, Alex.
I think you got to re-sign both of them, to be honest. I mean, if you think about it, Earl Thomas, without him, our defense is just mediocre at best. And then KJ is one of the best coverage linebackers in the league. So I think if you ask me, you got to re-sign both of them, you know?
Of course, then, you know, remember, now it's, I know $60 million compared to the 3.5 is a bunch, but you know, it's not going to be that they can take about four guys, and you know, they have the ability to do it. But if you get yourself into a bind, because remember, next year they got to start looking at doing something with you know, Russell Wilson, and that'll take him from like 21 into the 30s, 21.9 into the $30 million range. That's why I think, you know, it's kind of like the beginning of the offseason, they had a choice probably between Paul Richardson and Tyler Lockett. They elected to let Paul go at $8 million to Washington, figuring that maybe they can get Tyler Lockett back in the starting lineup and then get a deal with him. I think it comes down to KJ or Earl, not KJ and Earl. And I think that, just as the last caller was saying, I think KJ has the best chance to get that.
Yeah, I mean, I agree with you there. And you don't know how Earl's going to play this season with his heart not being there. But I think that he's one of those generational talents, you know, where he's going to go to the Hall of Fame, I'm pretty sure. So I don't see why you wouldn't re-sign both of them, because with that, all that cap space, what are you going to do with that? I mean, I think the O-line is the next issue that you got to address, but other than that, I think that what are you going to do with all that cap space, you know?
Yeah, yeah. Because, again, it's not like you want to go out in free agency, because I think you've seen the trend for the last 2 years. They've gone out in free agency and pretty much got one-year deals. I know they got a three-year deal with Ed Dixon, and, you know, got a couple years with Tom Johnson and that. But actually, it was 1 year with Tom Johnson because it was like 2.1. So it's not like they are going to go out and, you know, get replacements big time in that. I mean, they can grow your own and be able to do it. But, again, that's a big debate. Hey, Alex, thank you for the phone call.
Yeah, thanks, John.
866-979-ESPN, 206-421. So, tell you, do we have enough that we can carry it over? No, I think what we're going to end up doing is we go behind, we're going to go under, get the report card out, and the report card, of course, is the judgment on what's going on in sports, and that comes up next. Thank you for their phone calls. It's the John Clayton Show on 710 ESPN Seattle.
You're listening to The Professor, John Clayton.
Live from the Alaska Airlines Studios.
Streaming through the 710 Sports app and on 710sports.com.
It's time for The Report Card with The Professor.
And, of course, The Report Card we do every day. It's one where we kind of judge the good, the bad, the ugly, the smart, the dumb, the crazy stuff that goes on, whether it's by mouth, whether it's by deed, whether activity. We got all through that because always there's wacky stuff going on. And so, Maura Dooley, what do we got?
Well, you and Shannon Dreyer touched on this a little bit at 10:30, but remember back when they announced that Ichiro was going to be an executive with the team, he said that during the game he would be doing the same preparations that he's been doing the entire time. He said, nothing is going to change for me. I did that as a player, but I can't say for certain that maybe I won't put on a beard and glasses and be like Bobby Valentine and be in the dugout. And he did that yesterday. John, did you see it?
I saw it.
It made SportsCenter, so here's them talking about it.
Had some deception in the Bronx yesterday. There's Ichiro, who's now a front office guy, but he takes part in the pregame for the Mariners in a coaching-type role. But when you're required to leave the bench during the game, you get a little creative.
No, you didn't.
And you didn't even know this was
him. I didn't.
That's how good the disguise was.
It was good.
The really bushy mustache and the hoodie and the shades and Bobby Valentine was moved to chime in, and he said it was one of the great honors of my life.
Oh, come on,
I'm
Bobby.
Not kidding.
How do you grade that one?
Oh, that's
Professor?
An A. I mean, it's so much fun.
He was pretty unrecognizable.
No, because, I mean, it didn't even look like him. I mean, you could never tell it was Ichiro, particularly the way with that mustache and the way it came out. I mean, that was a really good disguise. And so it almost looked like he had grown that. I mean, it was so good.
Yeah.
But, I mean, boy, I mean, you can see that just his presence now is, you know, making things so much more fun for this team. And, you know, you didn't know what the situation was going to be. It's great to see that you really, I mean, I don't know if he's going to play next year or not play next year. I mean, but you can see that he's having fun and really doing it with the team that, you know, he'll go into the Hall of Fame with, because I would have to think he's going to be a Hall of Famer. And I think that's just great.
Yeah, he's known for being maybe a bit OCD or a bit of a perfectionist. So, you know, he doesn't do anything halfway, even disguises.
I know.
He went all out. It looked really good.
I mean, it's almost like, you know, watching the way that he would kind of do a drag bunt down the first baseline, how precise he was and where he would place the ball. I mean, he was able to place the mustache in such a great way.
I just like how much fun he's having with everyone, and I think keeping things light for that club is a good thing.
It really is. Well, I tell you what, because, I mean, the one theme, and I know we're going to get into this with Dave Grosby, is that baseball's down. I mean, yeah. You look at the way the game is. 19 teams out of 30 have drops in their attendance. And you look, and this is good for Seattle, but it's not good for the rest of the league. There's no drama. There's no drama in the American League right now. I mean, the drama is, you know, the top three teams are going to be Houston. You know, it's going to be the Yankees and Boston. They're the top three teams. And Cleveland now is just now starting to run away with the Central. So it's like, okay, so those are the four playoff teams. And then, you know, Seattle right now is in a position to be number five. But with as long as the Angels keep with the injuries, I mean, there's no drama to this.
Yeah, you're right. But I think that there will be down the stretch.
I don't know.
But yeah, it's
that.
Just there's no middle ground right now.
No, there really isn't.
Well, Professor, if you want drama... Did you see what Adrian Wojnarowski was doing for ESPN last night?
Mm-hmm. Kind of give us a story on that.
So ESPN's Adrian Wojnarowski, their NBA reporter, had to find different ways to avoid violating the network's agreement with the NBA to not tip off draft picks before they were announced on TV. So here's some examples of the tweets that he was using. He couldn't say that anyone was going to select someone. So he said the Lakers are unlikely to resist Mo Wagner with the 25th pick. Memphis is locked in on selecting Jaren Jackson Jr. Phoenix is determined to select Zaire Smith. Boston is tantalized by Robert Williams, and the Spurs are fixated on Lonnie Walker. People were pretty impressed with his creativity.
Yeah, but it's still, you know, putting the picks out beforehand. And I know, having done the NFL draft, you got in big trouble if you did that. And, you know, that's, I think, a little bit of a fault of the league, because what ends up happening is they get backed up so much because of commercials and everything else. I mean, there's times where you're literally 4 to 5 picks behind. Now, what you end up doing, because I know doing the ESPN radio broadcast, what I would do is I say, I'll tell you what right now. I think this team's going to take defense. And would not be surprised it's going to be right on the line.
Oh.
and so, wow, you got that one right. You got it. Well, I already knew what the pick was, so.
Yeah, but you held back.
Yeah.
Doesn't Schefter kind of leak out some of the NFL draft picks or no?
No, he doesn't. No, I mean, it's, if you do that, you get in trouble.
Huh.
I guess they let it get away with, but again, it's like we're under a mandate.
So what grade do you give him for that?
What's that? I give him a B-plus for getting through so far. Now, if he gets in trouble, it drops to a D, and it still could be possible that he could get in trouble for that.
Well, we'll have to wait and see. Next up, Baker Mayfield was on Colin Cowherd's show, and Cowherd really did not hold back with his opinions, but Baker came right back at him.
You play in Ohio State. I watched every snap. You were, you know, gloriously talented guy, right? And then I see this play right here. And I watch this, Baker, and you throw a touchdown. And instead of, now, I don't like this. I'm going to tell you right now. How come you're not, what? Where are you going? Where are you going over there?
Our band is over there. Our student section's right there. And then straight back to our sideline.
What about your team?
Did you watch the rest of the game?
I watched the whole game.
You did? So you saw me celebrate with my teammates like the 3 touchdowns before that, too?
I don't like that.
Oh, okay. Yeah. You pulled the one clip of me running right there to our fans and people that traveled well to that game, first of all. And then you didn't show the rest of the clip of me going to our sideline?
No. You have to go to the sideline. You're not going to go to the hospital.
Well,
where are you going to go after the touchdown? You're not going to go...
Well, you're acting like I just ran away from everybody.
Well, you did, but then you came back and circled to the sideline.
This is a 5-second clip of your showing me, and then I'm off the screen right there?
I'd like you to be with your teammates.
Watch the rest of the game, I was.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I know you went back to the sideline.
No. Go watch the other touchdowns. I got very excited on that one.
So you think my accusation that this doesn't this is
the fact that I feel like you're going for the fact that I'm not a team guy. I'm selfish. Is that what you're shooting at right here? Or what?
It is a no. I don't think that. I think sometimes your judgment's just a tad off. And I think the NFL is a judgment league because the game is so fast. Mm-hmm. You have to make the windows get really, really tight and really, really small. You got to make decisions really, really fast. In college, you got that Orlando Brown guy. Got a little more time. I don't love that decision. I don't love it.
That was a tense interview, Professor.
It really was. I mean, it's like normally you don't get that combative. And I love the fact that he was able to stand there and battle and I think win the debate because it's like, hey, you're taking a 5-second clip and making a judgment of that. You didn't see what happened before that. And so I give him an A+. I thought he beat the herd pretty well on that one. I think the herd kind of gets a D because, I mean, he was just kind of stammering to try to, you know, defend it. And then it's like, well, you have to come to the sidelines anyways. You're not going to get hurt. It's like, what is that all about? I'll give an A and a D on that one.
Yeah, I would have to agree. I wasn't necessarily the biggest Baker Mayfield fan heading into the draft, but I agreed with him in that interview.
Mm-hmm.
I think he held his own, and I think Cowherd didn't have much of an argument.
No. Sometimes Colin does that. Kind of goes off track.
Well, we can squeeze in one last one here. We mentioned this in the top five, but it's worth revisiting because it's just so sad. I wish the 76ers could have gotten to Mikal Bridges earlier, before he did this whole interview on how happy he was to be a hometown guy and be drafted, and his mother, who works for the team, chimed in about how excited she was, and then you find out he's been traded.
It means the world to me, you know. Not the fact that I'm home, you know, I'm just put in a great organization, you know, great coaches, you know, I know who's going to develop me, and they, you know, they take a lot of pride in me. They took a chance in me, and I'm just happy, man. It's just a blessing.
Mom, how do you describe this moment and how it's come full circle?
It's amazing. It's an experience I'll never forget. And I'm so excited he's coming home to be part of our Sixers family. It's amazing. Go Sixers!
I'll tell you what, I have to give both of them a B for just the pain that they went through. Because think about the reality of that. Okay, he's from Villanova. The 76ers are a young team on the rise. After all the bad years, the 5 or 6 bad years, taking all the lottery picks, trying to build them up with the process, and finally they got over the top, made the playoffs, and did some good things. It's a good franchise. And here you have a Villanova player from Philly. You got the mom there working in the organization, and they got shipped off to one of the worst teams in the NBA, Phoenix, team that drafted first, and it's going to take them years to be back. I just feel bad for the two of them because, you know, now they have to go apart, and what looked to be a great moment in his career now turns into, I think, a damaging one because, you know, now he's pulled away from where he wants to be on a team that's going to take a couple years to rebuild.
Yeah, and I just give the 76ers an F for not getting to him sooner. All of Twitter knew before he finished that interview.
Mm-hmm.
It was hard to watch.
Yeah, it really was. You really do feel bad because that's just a very, very bad thing to do. But I don't know. That's a report card, so I give Bs. But, boy, the Sixers, I'm going to give them an F. Give them an F.
Yes.
Yes.
That's it for grades today, Professor.
All right. And, of course, the Mariners and the Red Sox begin their series today at 4:10. Pre-game show begins at 3 on 710 ESPN Seattle. Coming up next, we're going to take your text questions for what's going to be a busy weekend and a busy week. Give us a text question at 710-710. It's the John Clayton Show on 710 ESPN Seattle.
John Clayton.
Powered through the Alaska Airlines Studios.
On demand with the 710 Seattle Sports app.
And, of course, what we are doing right now is taking your text questions at 710-710. You know, NBA draft is now in the books. We can address all that. We can look ahead at the Red Sox series, look back at the Yankees. Well, maybe you want to not look back at the Yankees series. But try to take a look at what's going on in football, the Jameis Winston suspension, you name it. Let's get going with some text questions.
206 says, how long are the Seahawks going to drag out this Earl Thomas situation? I see him as a stubborn man and believe he will sit out and miss games, plural. Why not ship him out for whatever you can get?
Because right now there's no market. There doesn't seem to be much of a market because Houston and the Dallas Cowboys don't seem to be in the mix. And if that's going to be the case, then it's like you just have to wait it out. And so, it's unfortunately going to be one where I don't think he's going to miss games. But right now the Seahawks have control because, you know, you're not going to give him a contract extension beforehand. You basically have to see where he is and wait till he comes in, and once he does that, then you're fine. But in the meantime, I think that it's just kind of a waiting game, so that's why they can't do anything at this stage.
509 says, in a one-game playoff versus the Yankees, should we pitch a low-velocity guy to avoid pop-up home runs? Paxton throws too hard for that baby field.
No, I think you put Paxton. I mean, put your best pitcher out there. You got one shot, and that's the way it's going to be. That's why in a lot of ways you've got to root, I guess if you're going to be the Mariners, for maybe the Yankees to win and the Red Sox to be the wild card. Because, I mean, there's a distinct advantage that Paxton can have against the Red Sox. Because, I mean, as we mentioned to Shannon, it's like the Red Sox are batting 236. They're right in the middle of the pack. They're a below average team against left-handed pitching. Their OPS and all the numbers are way down. And so, I mean, again, now I'm sure that as time goes on, they'll be addressing that probably in trades. But at the moment, it's like you would rather have the left-hander and your best pitcher go against the team that you play.
With the new Jurassic Park movie out, the 360 wants to know, would you go on a vacation to an island full of lab-created dinosaurs?
No, because I wouldn't go on any kind of vacation where there's dinosaurs, there's no cable, no internet, and no ability to try to get my database updated.
There you go.
I would pass on that.
With you talking about the difference in competition in the MLB right now, the 360 wants to know, which will be better, the World Series or the ALCS?
Probably the ALCS, because I think, you know, really when you start to think about who are some of the better teams in the National League, and you're starting to talk about Milwaukee, I mean, I guess unless the Dodgers continue, because the Dodgers will win their division. Right now, I think they're projected to maybe win 89 games. But, I mean, the NL is down at the top, and the AL is down overall. Now, again, that causes the distortion because, you know, with so many bad teams, I mean, when you have, only six winning teams, everybody's going to puff up their record. And so legitimately, you can see that the Mariners are a big benefactor for that, for how many games over 500 they are against losing teams. But the problem that the top three teams in the American League, they're the top three scoring teams in baseball. They're all scoring over five runs. They all have all-star caliber pitchers. They're just all good. So no, I think that the ALCS is going to be more exciting than the World Series.
I feel like it's really not that uncommon in baseball for the championship series to be a little more exciting than the World Series.
No, it's kind of like the NBA, where, I mean, really, that Houston Golden State series was the key, because you knew Cleveland was going to make it, but they weren't going to do as well.
Yeah. The 253 wants to know, who wins the NFC North this year?
NFC North, I think it's going to be, I don't discount Green Bay. I still give an edge to Minnesota because they have the better defense. I think that Kirk Cousins is going to do well. They've got two really good wide receivers. I mean, Diggs and Thielman both are really good. And so I kind of give the edge, but I think both teams are going to make the playoffs. And it's going to be very close as far as who wins the division.
The 253 wants to know, what's the key to a successful series against the Red Sox?
I'd say right now, if they can pull out two wins, it would be sensational. They just can't go blank. They can't get a sweep, because, they can still make up the ground, but that would put them 14 games over and put some questions in their mind and, really kind of show that they're not going to catch any of the top three teams in the American League. So I'd say they just got to get one. It'd be better to get two, but get one win.
360 wants to know, Professor, any word on how Tom Cable is doing in Oakland?
I think he's getting, they're feeling he's going well, but now we're going to go through a little bit of the process that he went here. I mean, he was very much involved in picking Colton Miller, their first-round pick, and a lot of people thought that was way too high to take him in the middle of the first round. And so, you remember that, he tends to, if he catches the ear of the general manager, of course, the general manager is John Gruden, it hasn't worked out. I mean, all the ones that he's pushed for, a lot of them haven't worked out. As a group, they did good things for some time, but I think in the last year or two, things started to slip.
Professor, I'm not really sure this is your style, but the 360 has asked this a few times. They want to know your favorite Seattle band from the grunge era.
I don't know. Let's see. Give me some options here, and I'll think through them. It's like
Alice in Chains, yeah. Pearl Jam.
Yeah,
Nirvana.
Yeah, it's Pearl Jam. Yeah. Pearl Jam 1 and Nirvana 2.
Okay.
Yeah. No, it's got to be Pearl Jam. I mean, how can it not?
The 425 says, John, do you think it's more likely for the Mariners to win the World Series this year or the Seahawks to win the Super Bowl in 2019?
I think there's more of a chance right now of the Seahawks winning the Super Bowl in 2019, although I think both chances are remote. I mean, that's why I think the interesting debate for the Mariners are going to be how much do you really want? I mean, can you win that one game? Because, I mean, it's going to be a playoff in one game. It's not going to be. I mean, you got to make the playoffs. That's the key. And so everything you can to do it, but you don't want to sacrifice the ability to come back because, you know, with that 23-12 record, I guess, with the one run games, I'm telling you, they're not going to win 90 next year. I mean, we talked to Phil Steele about it on Schooled with the Professor. That net close game margin is one that if you do well one year, you're coming back the next. And so the thing they have to do is just get more talent.
509 says, Mr. J.C. Penny, will Robinson Cano get the same treatment that A-Rod got when he returns from his suspension?
I hope not. I mean, again, he made the mistake. He's serving the 80 games. He's not going to, I mean, you can see they're already taking second base away from him because of D. Gordon. I think that that's punishment enough because, again, he misses, I mean, all the money he loses, the $11 million, the embarrassment of the whole thing. But I think the one thing that now has to be talked about, and I'm not saying they should do it, and they need him for this year, is after the season, is there a way to make a trade?
The 360 is calling me out saying the last two World Series have been pretty incredible going seven games, so they're giving me a C.
I've also seen
the Red Sox sweep, too. It happens. It goes back and forth. I'm just saying that I would say this year, with the way the American League is going, I agree with you, I could picture the ALCS being more competitive than the World Series.
Yeah.
And it has happened in the past.
Mm-hmm. No doubt.
The 509 also wants to know, yo, Professor Penny, any plans for the 4th of July?
The stands right now doing network radio. I just got that word that I'll be doing network radio. In fact, I'll do a whole bit on Sirius that week. So I actually got 4 days. So just yesterday I got confirmation they want me to do, because we won't have any show on the 4th. And so I'll be doing Sirius that week. But again, I'll be doing the show itself the rest of the week on here. It's just that I'll also be doing Sirius.
425 says, if Penny starts, Rashad Penny, who has a better year, Penny or Barkley?
I think Barkley, because I think as good as Penny is, I think Barkley's the better back. I mean, Barkley looks like a generational type of running back. I mean, I think he's created more buzz than anybody since Adrian Peterson, so I give the edge to Barkley.
All right, the 425 wants to know, is it more likely that Mr. Clayton would be at an Island of Dinosaurs or a country music concert?
I would be at the, if I had a choice between that, I'm bolting to the dinosaurs. I mean, put me on Jurassic Park. Because let's put it this way, I'd rather fight a T-Rex.
Ashley's shaking her head.
Yeah, I'd rather fight a T-Rex and listen to some twangy music.
All right, that's it for text today, Professor.
Okay, and of course, you can check out the show in the 710 Sports app. It's driven by your Puget Sound Acura dealer. Coming up next, we check in with Dave Grosby.
You're listening to The Professor, John Clayton.
Live from the Alaska Airlines Studios.
Streaming through the 710 Sports app and on 710sports.com.
And joining us now is Dave Grosby, and we won't go into this too much, but again, the three-game sweep by the Yankees, it doesn't take the Dare to Dream Express out of the picture, but It certainly puts a little bit of a damper, a little cloud in the sky.
2 one-run games, you could have won them both. You didn't get blown out, it was on the road. I'm all right with it.
And
not a disaster.
Yeah, and the big thing is that what you have right now is that you get through this three-game series, and as we talked about so much, the schedule's easy, relatively outside the division, so they can make up
schedule's,
the three-game.
Boy, John, in the American League, the schedule's easy if you're not playing the Red Sox, the Yankees, or the Indians.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone else is easy, and it I mean is. Everyone else, including the way the I'm counting the Angels is the way they're playing right now. You got one other 500 team, I think, and that's the A's.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone else is a piece of cake.
Yeah. In fact, I wanted to get into this because, I mean, I think I know that this is now becoming a topic. I mean, it's great for the Mariners because you're able to take advantage of that schedule and the fact that, there's 6 winning teams. And after the series against Boston, I mean, the only teams currently with winning records that you face is 3 games with the Yankees, 3 games with the Dodgers, and 3 games with Arizona. Everything else is division games, and they'll be tough. Texas, of course, not.
Always a little different in the division. You're
right. Always different in the division. But it's still set up that they can get to 90, and that's good for them because that breaks the 17-year streak of non-playoff years. But baseball-wise, it's a disaster. Because look at the attendance figures. 19 of 30 teams right now have had a decrease in attendance. Toronto, they're down 11,000 a game. You look at the fact that I'm curious to see what the TV ratings are going to be because basically there's a couple problems. One, like in the American League, there's no drama. I mean, you know what it's going to be. It's either going to be the Yankees or Red Sox. The one team makes it as a wild card, one wins a division. Astros win the division. Mariners very strong in getting that last wild card spot. Cleveland, in fact, if you look, I think the other four teams in the Central, the, you know, chasing Cleveland, all are on losing streaks. And they all have losing records. Mm-hmm. And so that takes a lot of the drama away. And again, great for Seattle, but not great for the rest of the league. And the attendance drop is significant. I mean, they're down, I think, 1,800 per game. They go from like in the 29s into the 27s.
It's almost 7%.
Yeah.
Which is a significant number when it's normally a tenth of a percent or something like that. And we were talking to Michael Bradley about it. He made the point of the fact that the lousy teams have no one worth watching.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's the difference kind of in the way the NBA sells their action. Even if even a lousy team's got someone worth watching to play. You know, I mean, they may not beat you, but there's someone interesting on the team. Where in baseball, that doesn't seem to be the case. And pennant races are basically, you got a race between, you know, you got, I'm sure television rating's going to be all right if they continue to focus on Yankees-Red Sox. I mean, you got them playing 19 times at the two best teams in the league, including Houston. They're playing at an elite level. The battle lines are drawn. They should, you know, what they need is a good beanball war to heat that rivalry up to where it used to be. But that helps in terms of television ratings to have traditional rivals. I mean, it'd be the same thing in the NBA if the Lakers and Celtics were good. You know, it just works out that way. The NFL is not as dependent on those because of the way they've marketed it and sold it and pushed it. They're not as dependent on individual rivalries as some of the other leagues are. But if you've got it going with traditional rivals, it usually bodes well for television ratings. And that's where they're making their money these days in baseball. But there's got to be some concern about where the sport's going, because baseball, unlike basketball, I mean, you talked about the Mariners being on a 90-win pace. It's close to a 100-win pace. And to have four teams be elite and everyone else be bad is ultimately not good. It makes for a long season. I mean, we're looking at a circumstance in the American League where there may be no race whatsoever except for the Yankees and the Red Sox trying to avoid a wild card. I expect Cleveland to run away with the Central. I don't think the Mariners are going to catch Houston. I don't think the Angels are going to catch the Mariners. So you're going to have the playoffs basically set, like you were talking about, 2 months before the season ends.
And I don't think, I mean, that's, and again, I guess everybody in this town should be selfish about it, because
sure,
that's something that
sure
hasn't been there. And it's like, it's great because now it does take the drama away, but the drama is going to be setting everything up for that one game series against Boston or the Yankees and seeing if they can get the right combination of pitching and hitting and all that to be able to win that game and see how far they can go. But, you know, the other thing that is the other bad stat is that now there's more strikeouts than there are home runs.
Well, that's just the new part of the game that I just hate. It devalues. Strikeouts have been devalued so much now that it's you know, you look at guys who don't strike out as the true anomaly anymore. And I'm not going to argue with sabermetrics and proving they're a proven way of scoring more runs and having a better approach. It's just simply, I will maintain that it does not make the game better. The game was better, and I like the way the Mariners are playing it, with speed at the top of the lineup, power in the middle of the lineup, advancing runners, you know, playing inside ball a little bit, you know, making the game move as opposed to sitting around waiting for home runs or striking out. It's not as entertaining a game, and that to me is a bigger factor than time of play or any of the other stuff that they're talking about. And I don't really see what the solution is.
I think one of the solutions, and it's been bandied about, and it has nothing to do with speeding up the game and putting a pitch clock out there and all that, limiting the times you can go to the mound to talk. I think what it comes down to is, I think, widen the strike zone. Because I think offense still remains the key. And even though, I mean, really, it's such an easy formula to figure out. I mean, the three highest scoring teams in baseball are the three teams that are the best in baseball: the Astros, the Red Sox, and the Yankees. They're the three highest scoring teams in the league. And if you can get some configuration for pitching and you can see everybody's bulking up their bullpen, I mean, then you win.
Well, if you widen the strike zone, you're going to see strikeouts like you've never seen before. I mean, I don't know that I think that's the solution necessarily. I don't know what they can do with the strike zone because it's not uniform.
Mm-hmm.
You know, every umpire has got their own strike zone. So that'd be a difficult fix. I really am not sure what the fix is going to be or what it could be, but there needs to be something.
Yeah, because, I mean, it does, and I know that rightfully so, the NFL gets criticized for some bad football.
Sure.
I mean, some of the quality of the game just isn't there as we speak now, and that's something that they have to constantly be watching for. But now in baseball, and again, not in this town, But when you look
different,
around,
different here. This is the good sign, because the last time baseball was in a crisis like this was '95.
Mm-hmm.
Was the year after the strike, and there was no interest in baseball, and the Yankees and Mariners had one of the great 5-game series of all time, and it kind of helped bring it back a little bit. So if you believe in signs, that might be a good sign. It's been 16, 17 years since baseball truly faced a crisis like this in attendance, and the Mariners were largely a big part of bringing it back a little bit. So maybe, just maybe, history will repeat itself. John.
Yeah, and it was kind of interesting because with all the great hitters they had on carried over from 95 to 97, Mariners had a record for home runs in a season.
They still have it.
And still have it. Well, it's probably going to go away because it looks like the Yankees are going to take it away. They're on pace to top the Mariners.
Yeah, they're on pace at 274. I think the Mariners hit 264. Mm-hmm. That's really incredible, isn't it?
It really is.
264 home runs.
But I think that has to be a big thought in baseball because, I mean, if you don't have that drama, I mean, it will take away. Now, again, it's lucky for the league that you have Yankees in Boston because that's,
right.
I think, the most that's the best series, and that's the one that everybody kind of gravitates to, and that's going to carry all the way through. But, boy, I mean, as far as suspense, not there.
Nope, it's there in the National League, but certainly not in the American League. But as you pointed out, that's not impacting attendance in the way they needed to.
Yeah, I mean, but you look at some of even the strangest races, like all of a sudden, Milwaukee and Atlanta are big factors. And then you look at Arizona. I mean, Arizona temporarily is holding the league in the NL West, even though they're the worst hitting team in baseball at 227. And you know that the Dodgers will eventually pass them.
Right.
227 is their batting average.
Yeah, I mean, they're doing it with pitching. But I agree with you. The Dodgers are going to get them.
Mm-hmm. So what's Bob Gross and Tom today?
Danny O'Neill is going to fill in for you at 2 o'clock, and we'll talk a little bit about what we were just talking about, the national story a little bit, the national look at baseball.
Okay, that'll be good. Now, sorry I'm not going to be with you today, but talk to you tomorrow.
10 o'clock.
Okay, and I'll be on from 9 until 12. He will be joining us at 10, and I'll talk to him next Monday. And, of course, it's the John Clayton Show. And so, oh, by the way, our thanks to Ash Cox for running the board and also to Maura Dooley for producing the show. Thank you all. It's the John Clayton Show at 710 ESPN Seattle.